Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. We're in Teacher Appreciation Week. Yesterday was Teacher Appreciation Day, and Teacher Appreciation Week started on Monday, and we're here on Wednesday, and we thought that we would take the time to talk about how much we appreciate what teachers do and just have a discussion around teaching, coaching, and appreciation of teaching and coaching. So, Erin, what comes to mind when you think of Teacher Appreciation Week and, you know, all the things that go with that?
The first thing that comes to mind is my high school English teacher, who was bold and brave enough to tell me at one point, like, this is good writing. Like, this, you could be an author, right? Like, hearing that for the first time was very encouraging as part of my life goals. And I didn't really actualize that piece of my life until recently, as I started working on my book. Of course, I did academic writing in grad school, and then, you know, throughout school, and even in my job at the university, we published a paper. But I feel like I would not have ever made those things happen if it wasn't for her. Not only her belief in me, but also her ability to teach and teach well, teach effectively, inspire people. So a huge shout out to my high school English teacher. That's what comes to mind when I first think of appreciation. And in fact, she inspired me to be a high school teacher, a high school English teacher. And I started out in my career in, as a teacher. So I know so many teachers out there who pour themselves into the role, tons of hours spent outside of the classroom on grading and curriculum development and buying supplies for their classroom. And I have a sister who's a science teacher, and she's a phenomenal science teacher. And she's always on the hunt for something, for some animal in her classroom, or some activity for her students, or designing these really complex labs that engage students in a new way. So teachers, you know, are not only teaching in the classroom all day with hardly any breaks, right? So they are full on, almost like they are, you know, in a theater production for 7+ hours straight a day with maybe a 15-minute lunch break. So anyway, teachers hold a lot. They hold a lot and they give a lot. And so I am so, so grateful for teachers. Well, Sean, what about you and Teacher Appreciation Week? What kind of stands out to you?
I love that you said how your teacher inspired you and planted that seed that encouraged you to write your own book. And then she also inspired you to become a teacher yourself, which is so beautiful. One thing that I think about when I think about teacher appreciation is definitely all of the work, time, effort, love, attention that teachers, as you said, was such a good word, pour into their teaching and the relationships that they build with their students. As a parent, I've been so fortunate with my teachers for my kids. All of the teachers that have taught my son, who is special needs, have been so patient, kind, encouraging, attentive. And my daughter, all of her teachers, they just rave about her. They're always talking about how much they love both of my kids. Their teachers really enjoy having them in the class. But the thing that's, that I really appreciate is how these teachers bring out so much in my children. For example, my son was very closed off and he didn't speak very much. And as he was maturing and going through school, I noticed that, you know, his teachers are so attentive and so kind and so patient. He started to really express himself. And this brings me to a moment at a teacher conference where we were in the teacher conference and my son is normally very shy. It was a classroom conference. So it was parents and their children and the teachers doing a demonstration of what they do in the class. And my son just I don't know if he was really paying attention, but he raised his hand to volunteer to demonstrate sentence writing on the board. Language is not his strong suit. So I was just so proud of him and also appreciative of the teacher who brought that out of him. And that's one of the beauties of teaching. And also, there's so much influence on the child's development. Teachers are with children longer in the day than they are with their parents when they're in school. So it matters so much when the teacher that is with your child not only is attentive, kind, compassionate, and also encouraging, like your teacher, inspiring. That is just so wonderful to see. I appreciate my son's teachers. I appreciate my daughter's teachers for what they do, because you were saying, like your sister and other teachers, yourself as a teacher, I was a teacher as well. We do put so much into our teaching that goes beyond the classroom. There's so much that we can do to reach students, so much that teachers can do to reach students. And the teachers that really do take the time to see their students as individuals, to value the individual contribution that they have, really do inspire, encourage, and nurture the next generation. So I love the fact that we have teachers in our society, and I would like to see personally the teachers get compensated better than they do. In Japan, where I lived for some time, they really do compensate the teachers for what they are, and they have a very elevated status in society. Teachers are revered in Japan. And it's very different from how society views teachers as a whole. And I would like to see more appreciation through our attitude towards teachers and teaching, and also the salaries that teachers get, I think should be much, much higher than it is. That's
Yeah,
just my
I
two
agree with
cents.
that. No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I've had, teaching experience, policy experience at the state level, university experience, creative projects, so many things. By far, teaching was the hardest job. It took so much thought and heart from myself, and just such a big part of my life. For me to feel like I was, doing it well. And I agree. There's so many teachers out there who are doing more than that and getting compensated very little and holding the future of our population in their hands as they educate them to be citizens in the US in terms of how they relate to one another, how they empathize with each other. So I'm thinking of citizen in that way, not citizen in this like legal term, but like how they exist in community, all on top of how they really grow their minds to learn new content that wasn't even taught 4 years earlier, right? That's the other thing. Teachers are always having to adjust and they are always having to switch up kind of based on new laws and new curriculum and implement that. Without a lot of time to prepare for that often. And so I could go on, I feel like, with how much teachers do, and I genuinely appreciate it all. And I loved your story about your son, because I just sat there and I just was sitting in that and I was just thinking of that impact for a teacher on an elementary school student to have that level of confidence to go to the board and write sentences when, that's something that, he may not be even as interested in. So I just it was powerful to sit here and hear at that micro level how one elementary student was impacted by an effective teacher. And there are stories like that all around us. And from our listeners, we'd love to hear about those inspiring stories from your world of working with educators. And I also want to include, you know, there are educators elsewhere. They're like the coaches at the gym. That's a little bit different, right, than the K-12 teachers. We're kind of framing this around. And then there are, you know, spiritual teachers, and there's a lot of teachers who are giving their time often in volunteer roles, unpaid roles. And so I also want to give a shout out of appreciation and gratitude to those people who are doing a lot to develop our young people. So I guess we started from the lens of gratitude and really praising our teachers. LaShawn, do you have anything else to add in that lens?
Well, I like that you mentioned that when kids are in school, when they are interacting with their teachers, when they are being educated, it's not just, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's also interpersonal skills and life skills and how they're going to show up as citizens. And I agree with you, not in the political sense, but in being part of society. And I think that's what schooling is. Schooling allows us to have a common culture or common lens through which we can look at the world. We go from our families into schools where we have that commonality as a culture, as a society. And that is such a big part of what makes a nation is our schooling. And so teachers are a huge part of that. And I'm really glad that you brought that up, Erin, because I think that can be overlooked, that they are a part of creating this commonality among all of us who come from different families, different expectations, different ways of being. And then we go into school and we learn this new way of being that we all can share as we go through our schooling and then go on and build our lives as adults. So that's a really important element. And I'm glad that you also mentioned other teachers, other educators. There are so many different ways that one can show up as a teacher. And it's not just in that official capacity, K through 12, university, but also just by stopping and, showing someone how to do something or volunteering in your community. Helping with homework at a local after school program or at the library. There are so many ways that we can show up as teachers. And how do we show up as teachers? I mean, we have examples. We have the teachers that, in a formal capacity, we also have our parents. I would say that parents are our first teachers. We learn by watching our parents, and our parents can also teach us things as well. So there's so many ways in which we can be student and teacher. And appreciation, I think, of teachers is also appreciation of learning and appreciation of that relationship that you can have with someone who is teaching you something and who you might be teaching something to. So the teacher-student relationship, which shows up in so many areas of our lives. So I'm really glad that you brought up other educators, other capacities in which people teach. That's so important. So this brings me to what you said about coaches, like athletic coaches, where teaching shows up in coaching and how coaches like we are life coaches, grief and loss coaches. I'm a positive intelligence coach. There might be something that we need to teach our clients when we're in the appointment, where we have to take off our coaching hat and put on our teaching hat and instruct them as to like maybe a certain way of how goals work. Or for you might have to instruct your clients as to what grief looks like. So there is an element of teaching when we coach. In the same way, there's an element of coaching when we teach. And I think that's that part of teaching that inspires, encourages, uplifts when we step into the role of coach, where we see our students in their greatest potential. We know we believe in our students. You mentioned that when you mentioned the high school English teacher who inspired you, she believed in you and in believing in you and showing you, observing that your writing is on par with a professional writer, that you could be a professional writer, that potential that you have, that is an element of coaching. So it's interesting to me that teaching and coaching kind of go hand in hand in some places. Any thoughts, Erin?
I love the connection between teaching and coaching there, and it makes a lot of sense. And I want to go back to where you said teaching is learning, because that is such a profound statement. And that also ties to how teaching and coaching intersect. Learning being, you know, whatever content might have to either be directly taught from a teacher or coach, and then internalizing that. And I think that's where coaching is so powerful in the one-on-one context, is the ability to work on how one internalizes that content to grow their self-awareness and to grow their abilities to match the belief that the coach holds about that individual, that they can achieve more or do more, if that's what they're looking for. Now, you know, grief and loss is a little bit different when we talk about coaching and what that might look like. But just generally, when we're thinking about teaching and coaching, there is that overlap, like you mentioned, of the belief in the individual and the inspiration behind that. And so I think, you know, in coaching, we are trained on like the coach way of being, and what the coach way of being is how the coach embodies like empathy and compassion and listening skills and questioning skills and inspiration, all of those things. And I think teachers embody those too. Their training on those is going to look a lot different for a full-size classroom if it's a, you know, traditional K-12 setting. But I think there are some really important and invaluable skills that we learn as coaches that I wish I had had in teaching. I got my undergrad in secondary education in English and journalism, really focused a lot on pedagogy and teaching. I have a master's in education, again, have a really strong background in teaching methods, but I never learned a lot of the coaching principles that I was trained in until I became a coach at the university and really had to learn a lot more about what that was and what the best practices are. So I guess this is a call to action in some way. Like, let's have a mashup here and really start to think about how we can bring more coaching principles into the classroom. And then, you know, we're always trying to, if we do bring direct instruction into our appointment, embody the best practices from education, from teaching. So I can see there, you know, there is a good opportunity here for us to continue these conversations with other teachers and coaches and from the professional level and the training level. I know there are some schools that are really trying to push a little bit more toward a coaching model, but I think it's still kind of in its infancy when we think of coaching, not only in teaching, but just in its practice itself. When I think of how these two kind of go together, I often think of like the actual training and the science behind what we do and what teachers do. And at the end of the day, right, we both inspire people. We both uplift people. We both want what's best for them. And I want to say on that last point with what's best for the individual versus what's best for the student or teacher, it's so important in coaching that we meet the client with their agenda, right? And so it's not what we think is best for them. It's what they think is best for them. That's much more easier to facilitate in a coaching appointment than it is in teaching. So I'm also curious about how do you bring that in to the classroom as well? Coaching and teaching, I guess we're on this theme of how they might overlap and show up. Do you have other thoughts, LaShawn?
I'm curious to know, in your teaching training, because I didn't have like formal teaching training. I have a master's in English, and then I was able to teach in university. And I was teaching English as a foreign language. So it's a little different from K through 12 teaching. So I am curious to know, how do you think that you would have shown up differently as a teacher with the skills that you have today?
That's a good question. And I think it's so complex, but the first thing that comes to mind is the phrase that teachers hear and that coaches hear. Meet the student or meet the client where they're at. Well, if I put my teaching training on and my teaching lens on, I'm going to likely be focusing a little bit more on like how they really embody the content, really get to know that so that they can keep moving up academically and growing their academic skills. All at the same time, I'm trying to foster, right, the community environment in the classroom and then the social emotional development of the students too. In coaching, you know, it's like I meet the client where they're at without all these other agendas, the curriculum agendas, and, you know, the wading through a lot of different levels of bureaucracy or those sorts of things. So how could I take that, you know, and use that more in the classroom? So I think I would, as a teacher, just try to individualize the curriculum a little bit more. And we talk about differentiating instruction, right? And providing various opportunities that are very much tailored to the individual needs. So I think I would do that, but I think I would collaborate with the student on that a little bit more. I think that collaboration piece, which is so heavy in coaching, I think I try to bring that in to the K-12 classroom. And I was a high school teacher, so I'm speaking more from high school experience. And so I don't really know much about, you know, K-8, but I think I would do like little collaborative appointments and be like, we have all these options, right? And where do you want to go here? How do we create something together versus me just giving you this assignment kind of thing? I mean, that sounds really, I would have to think through all the details, right? And practice and what that would look like. But the word collaboration is really inspiring to me after being out of the classroom for me to think about how I would maybe put it back into the classroom. And what about you, LaShawn, with your experience teaching in Japan? Were there any coaching techniques or any teaching practices that you found maybe more novel there than they are here?
Our environment, teaching environment in Japan, when we're teaching English, intensive English, or for teaching English for academic purposes, we do have pedagogy and we do have certain modalities, but each instructor brings with them their skills and their training. It's a lot like coaching because not every teacher is going to teach in the same way. And they're not trained in a specific modality that all teachers use. And so I would have to say that my teaching was influenced by my coaching training. I would have my students at the beginning of every semester, I'd have my students think of their mission and their vision. And I would tell them, you know, the SMART goals. And I integrated that into my teaching. One, because I was fascinated with my students' motivation. Where did it come from? Is it intrinsic? Is it extrinsic? And how can I inspire my students to learn this language that maybe they feel obligated to learn, or they think it's the only thing that they can do? So I was really interested in inspiring my students. And I also, just like you had said, wanted to meet my students where they were. And I was compelled to have my students use their own experience. What was fascinating to them? What was interesting to them? What did they want to learn more about while using English as a vehicle? Rather than seeing English as an object to study, I wanted them to use it as a means to learn something that they were particularly interested in, to communicate with other people. And in that, I really felt with these students, because they were very shy and they lacked confidence in their ability to use English in a practical way, I spent a lot of my time as a teacher boosting their self-esteem and their confidence. I spent a lot of time saying, you can do it, being a coach, really. And that's how I think, and also I was in university, so it's very different from, you know, high school. In Japan, high school is all about the test, getting them ready for the test. Junior high is also like that. The teaching is very different in Japan, but when you're in the university, it's really the instructors, training, background, agenda, they bring that into the classroom and then their students learn. Content is English, they learn it. For me, I would say my coaching training influenced my teaching quite a bit.
That's really cool. And it is inspirational. And you're right, the university is a little bit different than K-12. And it's interesting, Japan is all about the test. I think in the US, we try to temper that a little bit and try to come up with really creative assignments and things like that. But yeah, at the end of the day, it is, you know, how do we ensure that they are learning what they need to move on to the next academic level and those sorts of things too. All the while, like teachers are still caring about their students on a social emotional level and really fostering those skills too. And so there are so many teachers that I've come across recently who were in industry or who were in other careers, and they're now in their 40s plus and now going either back to be teachers or teaching right now. And I spoke with a man about a month ago who did that, and he says it feels like a calling. And I think there are a lot of people right now who go back after a different career to enter the teaching profession, and they're entering it often renewed with a strong sense of purpose, and they found that it's, you know, a really good fit. Versus, and I don't want to say it's this black and white, but versus, you know, my experience of like, I'm going to do this. I was very inspired by my high school English teacher. I'm going to study this in school. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, I don't think this is my career. I learned a lot. I love humans. I see the potential in humans, but that wasn't it. And so it's like really neat that we have the fluidity as adults in our lifetime to really find our career loves. So I think I want to go there a little bit as a coaching concept, and for those teachers who are entering into the teaching field in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and finding that it's the best fit career for them. And they're inspiring the students, and they're doing it on a different level sometimes with all of that industry experience as well. So I bring that up just because I've had like three people over the past month in that situation, whom I've spoken with, and they are inspiring and are loving what they do. And I think as coaches, we get to work in that space too, where we help other adults do those career shifts and have meaningful lives, because we spend so much time in our careers. So we want to make that as meaningful as possible. So I'm just feeling overwhelmingly inspired from this conversation, and then reflecting back on those three people that I'm thinking of, I'm just like, yeah, there are a lot of good humans out there. So.
Yeah, certainly. As you were talking, several things came up as you were talking. One is the idea of it being a calling, which I resonated with because, and I had the same experience that you did. I went into teaching. I've always loved teaching, especially literature, and I love teaching writing. I get really excited about those things that people find so boring and you know, I used to love it when I had like all of these. I have all the writing classes this semester. Yay. And then like my colleagues would be like, "Are you insane? Wouldn't you rather have a listening, speaking, you know, listening, speaking class?" I'm like, "No, I want the writing classes." So, but I also found that it wasn't really my calling. And I did find that coaching was my calling. And the other thing that came up when you were talking about where coaching could be a resource for teachers, for those who are leaving industry and going into teaching because it's a calling. Also, for teachers, I know that we're talking about teacher appreciation, and I think one thing to be aware of is the burnout that a lot of teachers feel, feeling underappreciated, overworked, dealing with a lot of difficult students in difficult times in their lives, and wondering if they're appreciated and just getting burned out because they put so much of their all into something and they don't get a lot back from it. And one thing that I thought about is it would be, you know, a great resource for teachers who are experiencing burnout, who are experiencing a sense of maybe this isn't for me. Or for people in the industry who are thinking, hey, you know, I think teaching is for me, but might not feel like they know how to do it or whether or not they should do it. Coaching is a perfect place to go and play and figure out where you're at currently and where you want to be and how to get there. And that's something that's perfect for coaching. Any kind of transition, struggles that you have in teaching or in your career, coaching is a great place, that co-creative space where you can work with a coach who is an expert on the framework or the process, who sees you as an expert, a resourceful human being, whole and capable of doing whatever you need to do to shift or whatever. And we help you do that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think there's so much to unpack in the role of a teacher. So having some human support that's outside of your family and friends makes a lot of sense, whether that's in coaching or counseling or mentorship, even maybe not mentorship, because mentorship is still within the field typically. I think there's something incredibly powerful about coaching and counseling. And that's the other thing, looking back on my beginning teaching stages, I wish I had gone to see a coach during that time to unpack what I was experiencing and just what was going on both internally and, the whole, and also being part of the bigger system. So coaching allows us to do that, whether we're teachers or in other professional roles. But there, like I said, like with teaching, and you brought this up too, coaching is a very powerful modality for teachers to sit down with somebody and just play around with, because they hold so much. And then the career switch as well. Like there are sometimes career specific coaches, but a lot of us also have backgrounds and training in career coaching. So it is worth, even with those life transitions, sitting down with the coach and just seeing what comes out of that meeting, because we often know deep down what we need to know, but that needs to be sometimes brought outside of us for us to hear it and understand it. And that's what we do with our students too, in the K-12 setting and in other teaching places. So it's all going back to how you stated it at the beginning, LaShawn, teaching is learning. Whether it's coaching is learning, teaching is learning, they're both intentional processes of learning with intentional frameworks, and they all have multiple frameworks, right? It's not just one pedagogical method in teaching and one coaching framework in coaching. So there is a lot of intentionality behind this too. And so I think that is the other thing that can sometimes not be as obvious in coaching, because we let the client lead so much, is our intentionality. Because our intentionality is in how we listen and ask questions. And that doesn't maybe seem like much in the meeting, but there is a lot of intentionality in that. So I guess there's a similarity there too, going back to that part of our conversation on similarities between teaching and coaching. But yes, coaching can be used as a career transition piece, a life coaching piece, and even helping you untangle some of the struggles you may be experiencing at work, in the classroom, in family life, really anywhere in your life. So what else do we need to cover about teacher appreciation?
I'm sure we could talk about this for hours, Erin, since we both have educational backgrounds. But I think, we're really close to coaching nugget time. I don't know if you have one in mind or if you'd like me to take that.
I guess I do have one, just feeling, as I've used the word inspired multiple times in this conversation, this isn't as much as a coaching practice or like, but it is, because it's related to gratitude. Please, during this week, write one of your favorite teachers, whether that's a current teacher, even in adulthood, maybe you're working with a teacher in a different capacity than traditional schooling, or maybe it's from your first grade classroom when you were young. Take the time to write the note of gratitude, send it in the mail. And on top of that, if it works for you financially, maybe add in a little bit of something else, like some flowers or a gift card or something, just to really express that note of thanks.
That is beautiful. And I would say, I'm going to add on to that, because Erin has repeated very well the teaching is learning. Where does that show up in your life? Learning, love of learning, joy of learning. And I think that's also part of appreciation as well. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.